On the show today, we have Pure IT Credit Union Services' very own Kyle Stutzman and Event Storm's Alex Hernandez talking about remote worker security, since the remote workforce isn't going anywhere anytime soon. So this is a really important topic. Check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and we have two fine gentlemen on the program today. First up is Mr. Kyle Stutzman from Pure IT Credit Union Services. Kyle, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And then down below us here is Mr. Alex Hernandez from Devent Storm. Alex, how you doing, sir?
I'm great. Excited to be on with you. I've had a few of my fellow co-workers at Defense Storm do calls with you, and I'm looking forward to my opportunity.
Awesome. And I'm really enjoying your non-cluttered background. You spared no expense. Good job. Simplicity at its finest right there. All right, guys. Let's talk about the topic at hand here, remote worker security. This was something that we talked about from the get-go, because, I mean, I remember talking to you guys, you and Jack, Kyle, about this, like, almost day one when credit unions were, like, doing the mass migration to home, and everyone's doing it as fast as they could, and a lot of people rushed into it and, like, oh, gosh, okay, let's just get this done. But then there's the security aspect, and again, like we were saying before the recording, the remote workplace isn't going anywhere anytime soon. It's going to remain there. And so, Kyle, I want you to start out here. What's going on right now? And then, Alex, I'll let you chime in as well.
Well, to start with, I mean, you classified everything quite succinctly there, really. So we have a lot of people that quickly moved remote, you know, whether it was VPN. We have a lot of virtual desktops we saw people were using, whether they're using VMware or Citrix. We saw people using tools like Intune to do controls and security. But inevitably, the key part is everyone moved extremely quickly. Those that were on a path actually did quite well. They were able to accelerate things they were meaning to do, but that doesn't mean that steps weren't missed, that risk factors weren't exposed. And at this time, you know, we're having a conversation with a lot of credit unions around the industry, and so are their examiners. And so that's the interesting part. Examiners are starting to come back and say, okay, you did this, and we know you did it for an immediate business need. It isn't changing. Maybe you're even making it permanent, which we have a lot of credit unions that have chosen roles that it's going to be permanent that they're doing that or in a rotation. So how do we know that you're doing it safely and soundly? How do we know that you have the right controls in place? Have you even updated what used to be a remote access policy that covered like three executives or maybe the IT team now needs to cover anyone that's connecting from possibly any place? So there's everything from policies and people's skill sets that need to be looked at, as well as the actual technology and security. And so that's kind of the mindset that's out there right now, is that it's time to look at this and make sure that it is sustainable, that there is something that isn't going to pop up that's going to really cause us a concern, especially not just with our examiners, but in real security issues. And, you know, Alex and I have been talking about this. We have a number of credit unions in common about ways that the tool sets that are out there can help kind of shed light and ensure that you're not just having a new exposed area, a new risk that you haven't had before and no one's watched.
Yeah, that was a bit, I know that was a big concern in the beginning. And wasn't there like kind of, I remember reading something. Wasn't there kind of like a grace period where, because all of this moves so fast, okay, we'll give you a month or so or whatever to get all your ducks in a row. But now that grace period is up. And so now we really have to have our ducks in a row, so to speak. And Alex, is this what you're finding with credit unions out there? They're, okay, a lot of this is permanent now for a lot of folks. Now we really have to lock it down tight.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're seeing. I mean, when we needed to jump and they needed to jump in order to change to a new way to operate, organizations like ours work with them to be able to enable the operational aspects of it and, you know, do the monitoring we could at the time, lock things down the way we could at the time. And yeah, within, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, you kind of saw the sweat, you know, off the brow a little bit, take a breath and say, okay, where are we? And now, as Kyle mentioned, we're in that, okay, let's map where we are technology-wise mm-hmm. to where we are control-wise, which is not caught up, and build out that path to get there, whether it's the policy items that Kyle's talking about, whether it's the audit control functionalities, because, you know, changing the way you're reviewing who's accessing your network remotely, who's got access to systems from where, you kind of, a lot of those just got turned off or turned down very quickly to operational, keep the credit unions running, and now it's time to tighten all that up again and lock everything back down.
Have you guys heard of credit unions having issues in this area with people working from, I'm sure there's stories out there running around there, but I mean, have you guys heard of stories out there of security, cracks, you know, that type of stuff that people have experienced? I mean, I haven't heard very many. I've heard a few, but I mean, what have you guys heard out there?
Most of what we've come across is the more accidental. It's the fact that the kids did something on the network that caused some interaction with something. It hasn't been a ransomware attack.
Right. I haven't heard that either. Yeah.
That we've specifically seen within our customer base. I think a lot of that comes to, I think as Kyle said, a lot of these organizations were already moving down this path. And although they didn't do it the way they wanted to do it, they still followed the methodology. Mm-hmm. They've done a lot around the controls. They ensured that, you know, the controls that they had available in place, the antivirus, the filtering, the access control capabilities, two-factor was already kind of commonplace for a lot of those types of things. So it mitigated that risk. I think they're a little more vulnerable for certainly some types of attacks now, but the general broad stroke ones that we see out there, they were in pretty good shape to prevent that even as they did this quick migration. So we haven't seen it either with our customers.
Have you seen anything, Kyle, or heard anything? Because we all know that the fraudsters, I mean, that trend is sky high right now. Fraud is just through the roof right now. But have you heard anything from the credit union perspective out there or what's going on that you've heard of?
There's a lot of scares, but nothing that yet has become a serious operational impact or financial impact would be what I'd say. There are things that have happened in areas that maybe the normal technologist doesn't think about. So think around your PBX system, like all of a sudden phone systems and calls and routing of calls that, you know, don't make any sense. You know, we don't serve members in that state or in that international country. Why in the world do we have a bunch of calls going there now? Mm-hmm. There's some things on those lines, and there's other areas of controls and risks that people didn't think about either. Like if it's only a remote device, a lot of controls happen is I still own that device. There's still a lot of legacy thinking around traditional systems. So I own this laptop. And so in this pandemic, I let you take that laptop home and that laptop connects into the network. And so they have a lot of good controls that were already in place.
Right.
But there's other things that good controls now have other complications. Like now that laptop doesn't get patches or updates unless it's connected to the network, because that's the way it always was thought of before. Right. So now I may have a device that's sitting at home that only connects during the day or a certain time, then it's missing a month or two of patches. And this is where you said the grace period. There's no real grace period for security and controls in our industry, unfortunately, as we all know.
Good point.
But there was some grace being given, and we should give ourselves some grace, you know, as we mature these things, but we can't ignore them. And so those little gaps are going to widen as we, you know, don't take a look at them again. And that's why examiners are starting to look. That's why we're talking to any of the credit unions we're working with that are using tools like the FenceStorm or that we're a vCISO for, just to make sure they start to identify those, make the adjustments they need, because we don't want any of those large stories. We don't want those big interruptions to happen. Those are financially damaging and reputation damaging that can be quite severe.
Yeah, staying out of the headlines is very important these days, for sure.
Now, and to build on some of those gaps that sure. Kyle mentioned, you know, our customers, they were lucky. Our cloud methodology really enabled them to have these remote systems still be monitored when they left the network. But a lot of organizations lost a level of visibility when that happened. Mm-hmm. We're also seeing a lot more folks that are now looking deeper at some of the more next generation antivirus EDR solutions. We're actually working on launching a Defense Storm EDR solution for our customer base.
Oh, right on.
That allows to have more controls, have more response capabilities with these devices that are remote, whereas it's easy to walk in and unplug a network cable or lock something down locally in, mm-hmm. in a branch for a credit union. But doing that with a remote user is a whole nother, you know, area, another challenge. So we're working with them. Okay, how do we then enable these in-house response capabilities that we've had historically with our controls to that remote site? So not only are we ensuring they're patching and things like Kyle's talking about, that we can see what's going on them mm-hmm. all the time and be able to respond if there's anything of concern.
Pardon my ignorance here, but is there like automated patching? Like you get automated updates for your OS or your mobile OS, or do they have that? Or is it something that you physically have to do? Again, pardon my ignorance here, but I'm just checking.
Absolutely can be automated, but it's up to the organization to leverage the automation tools.
Okay.
You know, if you're moving that cloud route, which a lot of our folks are, they may have Azure and Intune already available and leveraging those technologies. Makes it real easy no matter where they are.
Yeah, but that's cool, yeah.
Some of those classic patch management systems are all intended to be done by a local network. And okay. Kyle, certainly with Pure IT, helps a lot of organizations deal with that challenge. He could certainly speak more to that.
Yeah. Kyle, you were going to say something?
Well, Mike, it's a great example, because I mean, if I'm an executive sitting in a credit union and I'm thinking through this, like, yeah, we do patching, but our rules before probably were to not allow that to happen. We didn't want machines just updating their patches on their own, because everyone comes in on the patch Tuesday, this wonderful day of the month, and all of a sudden, you know, no tellers can log in and no lending people can get in because every machine's updating. So credit unions didn't allow that. Financial institutions didn't allow that. They wanted to control the patches. They wanted to test the patches. And so when you didn't allow that, now your situation changes. You still may not allow it, and yet they, you know, now they can't get them. So that's one thing. And I was smiling too as I was thinking through executive. I was rolling through my brain as you were using that acronym, Alex. And I'm thinking, like, what exactly was that again that is happening? Can you explain what that – I think it's endpoint something that you were working on, that like, what does it mean if I have all my machines out there and now they're not inside my walls? I can't talk to everything. So what is that acronym you were talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I forget and start throwing these things out there without even thinking about it. So EDR is the acronym. Okay. Endpoint Detection and Response is the class of technology that I'm talking about here. And it's really the next level of how do I watch for malware on my remote PCs, on my end user devices? How do I respond? How do I investigate those more efficiently? How do I respond blocking a process, locking a PC down, no matter where it is? So that I'm enhancing my ability that as I've got these remote workforce, these remote PCs, I've still got my visibility wherever they are. I've still got my ability to respond to them wherever they are, just like mm-hmm. blocking on a firewall and a network layer, but doing it on that specific PC, even if it's, you know, at Kyle's house because he's working remotely. So having that endpoint level of detection and response, and typically with that advanced malware capability, so be going beyond classic signature antivirus to more behavioral-based antivirus built into those mm-hmm. tools as well.
Wow, never has this topic been more important than right now. Oh my gosh. I mean, I hear this all over the place now, whereas, you know, pre-pandemic, it was mildly talked about, but now, I mean, working remotely and things like that, yeah, that's kind of a cool thing that you guys are doing, but now it's a necessity. Mm-hmm. It's
like, well, and I think there's some practical things that, once again, thinking about if you're a leader in a credit union, what are some ways that you can help understand this? Because it can get quite complex.
So
I love it when people start to draw things out. So if you were trying to think of things like before, you know, think you're the old grumpy man and you have a fence around your yard and that's your first boundary and you know your dog can run around in there and you have your house door and then you have your bedroom door. And we all have that kind of concept still in our industry for a lot of security. Like, so I'm going to have my stuff in my house, or in this case, I'm going to have my computers inside my, you know, my office building. And that's going to be connected to my tools that are inside. And I know anything inside that little zone or that fence is something I can work with. And what I just heard Alex explain is really the change and this transformation that's happening. I mean, you see it sometimes in our, what our members expect in their financial tools. Well, the same thing got rolled through all of our infrastructure and all of our tools and the security tools are the same way. How do I now then just control things outside of my walls or make them available and convenient to workers? And it doesn't matter as much if you're sitting at Starbucks or whether you're sitting at home in your home office. It doesn't matter if I'm in the airport, if I'm working from my basement when I usually work in, you know, now my kids are all using computers too at home, have their days off school. So sometimes you even get displaced from your own office and your own tools. And so there's a lot of movement that's happening, even just beyond the general idea of remote. So some of the stuff, that concept that Alex was talking about where security is moving down to the individual devices, control is moving down to the individual point and not dependent on it being in a certain location, is extremely important and should be part of everything people are considering. And that's where, going back to the idea of drawing things out, sometimes you can start to see, okay, well, where are those boundaries and control? How is it fitting now in this new model?
How fast has this evolved in the last 6 months? I mean, has there been things really completely flipped upside down? Oh my gosh, Siri just came on. Sorry. I didn't mention your name, Siri. Go away. So how fast has this evolved, and how fast do you see it continuing to evolve as kind of this remote permanency sets in, Alex?
It's evolved really quick as far as the changing the way the organizations operate. From moving from in-office to remote user was extremely quick evolution. We see some folks kind of coming back, but I don't think we're not going back. We're not going to devolve back to where we were.
Right.
This is, you know, they talk about the new normal, but this is the new way we're going to operate. There's going to be some branch aspects. There's going to be some in-house operations aspects. There's going to be some remote operations aspects of it. I don't think we're going to close that door from where it was before. So now luckily there were technologies available to start to really enhance security of the operations. Organizations outside of credit unions have certainly been looking at these types of technologies and this building out this remote workforce and cloud services for quite a while. Kyle's organization's helped a lot of folks with that transformation down that path as they've slowly moved there. This was really just an acceleration of compressing what was kind of a few year potential plan into a partial couple day to couple of week implementation of pieces of it.
Oh my gosh. Kyle, do you have anything on that? I mean, the evolution of it all. The reason why I asked that question is because we're trying to stay on top of so many things, especially technology focused. Oh my gosh, this is another thing that we got to, you know, stay super current on right now, or else, you know, the reputation of your organization depends on it. So now you have to dedicate more resources, I guess, to staying on top of this type of security. Or what's some advice that you want to put out there, Kyle, for folks?
You have to continue to give it attention, but if you've already accepted the new path that the credit industry was on, which didn't just happen with the pandemic, that there really was a transformation happening around technology and around security. As Alex said, this is an acceleration of it. Mm-hmm. And what I see is that it's going to accelerate more. There are institutions that are skipping generations of technology operations, systems, and processes, and looking at things that are more cloud-based, so looking at things that are more individually focused on, you know, Internet of Things concepts. Like, it's now a device that needs to be secured and isolated and managed on its own. So there's things that are there. It's thing is that we're not alone in it. This is the part, I mean, it's not just Pure IT, it's not just Defense Storm. We're on here talking because we're having these conversations with our credit union. There's a lot of credit unions sharing information with each other. There's a lot of our credit union clients sharing information with each other and with us. Mm-hmm. So these steps are not huge steps they need to make. It's still a maturing process.
Okay.
And it's still a roadmap they need to. This is not something you go buy and tomorrow you're fine. This is going through the transformation still. This is still maturing and walking together with someone.
Yeah.
I said recently in another conversation, there's no easy button for the technology or security changes that are coming our way, but there's a lot of people that'll help walk with you through it. And that's really what's fun about our industry, is there's a lot of good partners that we work with. There's a lot of good credit unions we're working with. There's people like you that are helping get, you know, the message out about what's out there and what are the challenges. And so that's the exciting part of being in our industry. But it's not easy, but there's a lot of help.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Last question for you guys, because I know you got full plates, both of you. You guys are on the front lines talking to credit unions on a daily basis. What is keeping credit unions awake, or CEOs or IT folks? What is keeping them awake at night when it comes to this topic? Alex, I'll let you go first if you...
I think it's the concerns of, are we covered? You know, from a high level perspective, is understanding how we're covered. They didn't necessarily have a great view of that before the infrastructure change. That's something I think they've been taking the path down, is improving that understanding of, are we okay? Are we, how close to 100% covered from keeping ourselves secure are we? I think there's fear of, we know less about that right now.
Right.
What I can, you know, that's true for a lot of organizations, but they're working towards solving that. Mm-hmm. I think one of the comments that Kyle made about, you know, having that picture, drawing that picture, makes sense, because what I like to say is that the core fundamentals haven't changed. The fact you need a fence around things, the fact that you've got doors and only certain things are allowed in the doors. We may be drawing our fence in a slightly different place. We may be defining our door a little differently, but let's worry about that down at the IT and the implementation level. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it at a higher level of understanding what the fence needs to look like and how we measure our KPIs around the effectiveness of that fence, regardless of how we draw that fence. Yeah. But that that unknown aspect of how we used to try to look at this, which we didn't have a full handle on, but we're getting better, to a new way, is really where a lot of those concerns come from.
Yeah, that's a good point too, because it's only going to get better, because this is still so new. It's only going to get better. Kyle, I mean, what are you hearing? What are you hearing out there on what is keeping credit unions awake at night on this?
I'm going to just echo what Alex said. It's the unknown. If I'm talking to credit union leaders, they want to take the unknown that I can't quantify a risk and put it into something that's known with an actionable plan around it. So I guess it's not just the unknown. It's that they want to know what to do about it then too. And that gives a lot of comfort. You may choose not to take too many steps too quickly because of other operational risks, but you need to have that decision as a leader to know how, you know, what is my potential risk? How can I take these steps forward? And that brings a little bit of peace and a little bit of sleep at night. I don't think any security person really gets to sleep at night. You can ask Alex that, but I think for the executives and leaders, knowing that there's something there in your plan and you have a plan that you're taking action on, that's enough to give a little bit of a rest at least.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all going to kind of get used to the uncomfortableness of what we're all experiencing right now. So, goodness gracious. Anything else to add, guys? Did we cover it all for you? Anything else to add to wrap up here?
I think we covered it well.
Good deal. All right, guys. Well, I'll let you get back to work because I know you have important work to do. All right?
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, anytime, guys. Anytime. Well done. And Alex, work on that background, all right?
I'll get some stickers or something for you guys.
Good one. All righty. Good job, guys. Thanks again.